Let's ask God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the new year begins, we pray that your spirit will still our hearts and minds to be open to your word, to be able to see you on your throne, and to enter 2021 confidently, trusting in you, hoping in you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Goodbye, 2020. May we never see the like of you again. What a year 2020 was, from mega bushfires to hailstorm and a pandemic, to lives being turned upside down, to businesses failing, to thousands out of work, events postponed or cancelled, and TPC going online, to Zoom becoming a word that doesn't mean going very, very fast, to new words becoming part of our everyday lives like lockdown, quarantine, self-isolating, which is not a new way of taking a selfie, or new words like co-idiot, that's someone ignoring public health advice, or this is new, co-video party, online parties via Zoom or Skype. I've not experienced those. Anyone experience COVID? Yeah, Alison, okay. And there's also co-exit, the strategy for exiting lockdown, which I'm not sure if that's legally exiting or illegally exiting. Whatever your feelings or experience were in 2020, we really don't know what, as individuals or as families or as a church family, we are going to face in 2021. But how should we face the new year that might be as challenging as the last? Well, Psalm 146 gives us two amazing truths that can help us. First, it encourages us to live a life of praise to the God who has created us, who cares for us, and who has redeemed us. And secondly, we are to take comfort in the truth that the Lord reigns now and forever. He was king in 2020, and he is still king in 2021. He is king, and whoever places their trust and hope in him will be blessed and will not be disappointed. But to embrace these two truths means that you are a person who already knows the Lord, a person who is already seeking to live out a life in what it means to live a life of praise. What does a life of praise look like? Well, we'll get to that a bit later. But first, in verses 1 to 2, the psalmist teaches us that praise comes from having a relationship with the Lord. When it comes to praise, it should be both genuine and spontaneous. You praise something or someone because you delight in them. When you praise, you exalt, you lift up to others. You express or show the value that this person has or the beauty of something or someone. Whenever I tell people that my wife, Anna, is an ESL teacher, teaching English as a second language, I always mention she's an excellent teacher. She's brilliant. The students think so, the other teachers think so. So I praise my wife, her talent. When we have pasta, Luke makes his famous pasta sauce. And I praise him because all my family love his sauce better than my sauce. So praise can also bring about humility. But praise does come from the heart. For the psalmist, praise is something that he wants to be not only part of his life, but to be an important part of his life, a lifelong activity. Look at verse 1 and 2. He says, praise the Lord. I mean, it's an invitation, isn't it, to us? Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. The Lord is worthy of praise, the psalmist tells us, because of who he is. When you are praising God, you are magnifying him. You are saying that he is praiseworthy. And how do we praise God? Well, the psalmist indicates the first thing is by singing. He seems to indicate that. I will sing praise to my God. When we were told that we couldn't sing because of COVID-19, we all discovered in time that we actually missed singing. There's something encouraging to hear the voices of people joining together praising God. So we are to sing, but your whole life can't be one song unless you've got a very good voice. The other one is that we are to live a life of praise, living out what it means to praise God. As he says, I will sing praise to my God as long as I live, and I will praise the Lord all my life. So praising God is a lifelong long activity. Praising God is a way of acknowledging God's worth, God's value, God's beauty, God's rule. You see, praising God is not just about singing and dancing. Not that we dance as Presbyterians, but you never know. Praising God is about obedience. Praising God is about making choices and not making certain choices. If our life is about wanting to praise God, then we will seek to magnify his greatness to those around us by how we live and how we speak. But that's how people can see God exalted in your life or in my life. So is 2021 going to be a year of praise for you? Not a year that about praising you, of course, but a year of praising God. A year where you will praise God publicly? That's challenging. But privately, where no one else sees, but God does see. Will 2021 be a year where you will put God first in your affection and in your life? Now, the only person who would want to do this is the person who is already in a covenantal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Because you can't praise what you don't know, you can't praise what you don't value, and you can't praise someone you're not in relationship with. C.S. Lewis once said, "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed." So what he's saying, that when we praise God, it should be expressed not only just in words, but in actions, in works. And what does a life of praise look like? The best example of that life of praise, of course, was lived out by the Lord Jesus. And we might find that challenging. But there's one aspect that I want to bring out. Jesus' life of praise was a life delighting in and pleasing his Father. There was delighting in and pleasing his Father. Because we hear from God himself in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, when he spoke from heaven, he said this, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And we know what it means to please people. I mean, we may please our bosses out of necessity, but we may please our spouse or children or parents or good friends out of love. Jesus pleased his Father out of love. So love is the motivation of praise also. The better we come to know God, the more we are convinced that praising God with all our life will not be a waste of life. So the psalmist encourages us to praise the Lord, to make it a lifelong activity, to delight in God, to enjoy God, but to also do it in such a way that people can see us praising God by the way we speak, the way we act, the way we live. But he also warns us how foolish it is when we place our trust or hope in things that eventually die, in verses 3 to 4. The psalmist warns us that we will be disappointed if we put our hope in people with power, and that's what he talks about, people with power and influence. Why? Because they eventually die. People in power will eventually be elected out of office. Well, some of them will be elected out of office eventually. We'll get to that one day. Or be thrown out of power by a coup, or they will eventually die in power, as he says in verses 3 and 4. "Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing." Human saviours will disappoint us and fail us. They may seem promising, but even they will die. Nothing lasts forever, and things are always changing. And what can these people save us from? Well, maybe from higher taxes. I'm not sure about that. Maybe from an invasion from a foreign power. Maybe from financial ruin through JobKeeper and JobSeeker. Maybe from disease. Maybe. But they can't save us from our bondage to sin. They can't save us from death. Because like the rest of us, they die. So in what and in whom will you place your trust in 2021? As a church family, when we look back over 2020, what do you see? Do you see the hand of God over us as his people? By God's grace, we are still together as a church family. Even when we were solely meeting online, we still all came together. We still met as growth groups through Zoom, and new groups were formed like the morning Zoom prayer meeting. We conducted Sunday school and even youth group. I think that's miraculous. I mean, the youth getting together, over 20 of them wanting to get together on Zoom. When we were able to meet together, we had not lost anyone, but actually gained some new people into our community. And who achieved all that? How did all that come about? Yes, God does use people. I don't want to deny that, but it was by God's grace that all this came about. It was not because of the personality of the ministers that kept us together, but the Spirit of God. And we need to acknowledge that and praise God for that. If our trust is in people rather than in God to achieve things, then we have put God on the shelf and he doesn't belong there. So to whom will TPC look in 2021? The answer should be God. But will we do it? And how do we show our trust in God? Well, one, as the psalmist has encouraged us, by living a life that praises God and not ourselves. A life of obedience, a life of honoring God, pleasing God. Two, by not trusting in powerful, influential people. The world is, you know, consumed about celebrities and influencers. I always have to ask my children when someone appears on television, who's that? Oh, that's an influencer. They're not influencing me, but they must be influencing lots of people because they're getting gigs on commercials. But we're not to trust in these powerful, influential people. And third, it's not mentioned in the psalm, is prayer. But I think in some ways it is, because the psalms are not only just to be sung, but they're also to be prayed. This psalm calls us away from relying upon ourselves or on people and calls us to rely on God, who can do more than we can ever imagine. So praying this psalm is helpful, keeps our focus for 2021. And prayer is essential. Many of you know that in my ministry, from the day that I walked into TPC, is that I pray through the church directory. So I pray for every family, every adult and every child. I've done that since 1999 when I was in Griffith. And the Lord has blessed that, encouraged that, because, not that I'm saying there was any issues, but through challenges and issues and even conflicts, not TPC, just throw that in, God has dealt with stuff. God has brought things about that was amazing, because God answers prayer. So as a church, we should be constantly praying in all our groups that we will live a life of praise, that God will be honored and glorified. Because sometimes we look at things that we see and they can sort of consume all our gaze. We don't look upon the one person who we cannot see, but who has loved us and died for us and brought us back to himself. And the psalmist doesn't want us to lose the blessing, because he says all those who put their trust and hope in God will be blessed, as he says in verses 5 to 9. Relying on and hoping in God means receiving a blessing. Look at verse 5. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Again, there's that relational aspect, the Lord their God. But also, in talking about God being the God of Jacob, the psalmist is bringing out another aspect of God, of his mercy and of his grace. Because we're reminded that God dealt with this guy, Jacob. Jacob was a liar and a deceiver. And what did God do? He showed him grace upon grace. When he was running away from his brother after deceiving his father and stealing Esau's blessing, God said this to Jacob: I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. And God did a number on Jacob. He learned what it meant to be deceived and lied to. But God loves his people. He shows grace upon grace. God will always help his people, and he can be relied on. So the psalmist encourages us with a very big picture of this God that we can trust. He's the creator. Look at verses basically 6 to 9. He's the creator and the sustainer of the world. He never forsakes his people, nor his creation. That's why it will be renewed when the Lord Jesus returns. He cares for the oppressed, feeds the hungry, sets the prisoners free, gives sight to the blind, lifts up those who are cast down, loves the righteous. The righteous here are those who call out to him, the righteous poor and the righteous hungry. He watches over the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow. And finally, he frustrates or brings to nothing the ways of the wicked. When you read that section, does it remind you of anybody? Thank you, Victor. Yes, he got it right, Jesus. And the kids talk. I mean, it just pointed it out, didn't it? It's a beautiful picture. It expresses the character of God. All these expressions reflect God's faithfulness to his people. And God will even sacrifice himself to remain faithful and keep his promises to his people. As I said, we see all these acts of God in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. Once John the Baptist asked Jesus this question, "Are you the one who was to come?" And Jesus answers in Matthew 11, "Go back and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." And when Jesus started his ministry, he took the scroll of Isaiah, and in Luke 4, he read this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus' ministry reflected the nature and character of God, because he was God, God in the flesh. And the ultimate expression of all this was, of course, the cross. Jesus' death on the cross sets the prisoner free. That's us. We are released thanks to Jesus. Jesus' death on the cross delivers us from the oppression of Satan and death. Jesus' death lifts us up and brings us back to God. Jesus' death makes us sons and daughters of the living God. Jesus' death frustrates the way of the wicked because he won by being raised from the dead. The God that this psalmist tells us to praise is the God who was born a human being. The God who fed the 5,000, the God who looked after the oppressed and those who were discarded. For the psalmist, those whose help is in the Lord Jesus would never be disappointed, because he lives and death has no power over him. Those whose hope is in the Lord Jesus would never be disappointed, because Jesus is the everlasting King and his reign will go on forever and ever, in verse 10. As we begin 2020, we need to look not only to the cross, don't misunderstand me there. Not only do we need to look to the cross, but we need to look to the throne. We seem to forget about the throne. Don't know why. We need to look to the right hand of God the Father, where the Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand, at his right hand, in glory and in power. We need to be reminded that the Lord Jesus rules and reigns over this earth. Yes, I know there's challenges to that. I know that sometimes we may not feel that, and maybe things we assume could be better, but we need to understand that Jesus rules over a rebellious world. He has not come yet. He has not returned. But he is the one who died, who was buried, was raised again on the third day, has ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand till all his enemies are under his feet, and the last enemy is death. So let's look to the throne. He reigns and rules. Look at verse 10. "The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." The truth is he reigns. And it is in your life and in my life of praise that will show this truth out to those people around us, to the people we work with, to our colleagues, to our sporting teams, to our family and our friends. The only reason why we praise the Lord Jesus is because we value what he's done. We see his beauty. And to complete that, we share that with other people. As we enter 2021 with all its uncertainty, and maybe the certainty of COVID-19 still hanging around, where is your hope? Is it in the politicians that keep promising us they'll keep us safe? Is it in the vaccines that promise to deal with the disease? They're useful. Don't want to take that away. The psalmist encourages us to hope in the God who is faithful, even when it takes him to the cross. How faithful can our God be when he puts his own life on the line? May the Holy Spirit empower you and me to live a life of praise that proclaims that Jesus is King throughout 2021. Because those whose hope is in the Lord Jesus will never be disappointed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this psalm that calls us to praise you. We thank you that in your Son we saw who you are, your grace, your mercy, your care, your love. We thank you that Jesus is victorious. We thank you that the Lord Jesus is sitting on the throne. As we move into 2021, let our focus be upon the throne. Let our confidence be in the Lord Jesus. And through your Spirit, we ask that we will live a life that praises him. And we ask it in his name. Amen.